It's Friday, February 6th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. Political candidates from around Indiana have been redoing paperwork for this spring's primary ballot, as confusion surrounds whether the Secretary of State's office properly processed those forms. Indiana lawmakers show bipartisan support for legislation that would criminalize doxing. And after the recent disappearance and death of 17-year-old Haley Busby from Fishers, state lawmakers are considering creating a new alert system for missing children. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. Political candidates from around Indiana have been redoing paperwork for this spring's primary ballot, as confusion surrounds whether the Secretary of State's office properly processed those forms. The Indiana Capital Chronicle reports the turmoil stems from questions over whether staffers to Republican Secretary of State Diego Morales were correctly certified to accept sworn statements from candidates that they meet the legal requirements for the office they are seeking. Morales maintains that his office followed state law, but that hasn't stopped many Republican and Democratic candidates from refiling the two-page document this week at the Indiana Election Division office ahead of today's deadline. At question is whether the candidacy form submitted at the Secretary of State's office located in the State House could be challenged by a political opponent as having not been processed correctly. State law requires the candidacy forms to be certified by a notary public or other officials, including all employees of the Election Division office. The Election Division was not tracking how many candidates were refiling at its office this week, with potentially hundreds affected. Doxing is posting someone's personally identifying information online with a harmful intent. WFYI's Zach Castle reports that criminalizing it has bipartisan support among Indiana lawmakers this year.
The bill moved quickly through the Indiana Senate and will now be considered by the House. It comes after numerous lawmakers were targeted during the redistricting debate in December. Instances included Senators Greg Good and Spencer Deary. Bill author Vanita Becker addressed the difference between the name of the bill, doxing, and other forms of online harassment like swatting.
It's really if there's been a threat made, and a lot of times it's very difficult to find the person that actually caused it. We understand that, but if they can, law enforcement would like to be able to track them down.
The bill would establish doxing as a Class A misdemeanor. If the person targeted experiences an injury or death, the charge is upgraded to a felony. I'm Zach Castle in Indianapolis.
After the recent disappearance and death of 17-year-old Haley Busby from Fishers, state lawmakers said they are considering creating a new alert system for missing children. Caroline Beck reports.
Busby's family is calling on state leaders to create Haley's Law, which would set up a pink alert to be activated when a child is missing under unusual circumstances. Unlike an Amber Alert, the Pink Alert would be used when there is evidence of child grooming or other trafficking concerns surrounding a child's disappearance. Less than a week after Busby's body was found, state leaders, including House Speaker Todd Houston, say they are looking to add language to bills currently moving through the State House.
They've identified opportunities to put new language in the second half that would, again, maybe clarify that issue around the alert system.
The legislative session is anticipated to end by the end of February. I'm Caroline Beck at the State House.
Indiana House Speaker Todd Houston says lawmakers are moving quickly to pass legislation to lure the Chicago Bears to Indiana. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, Houston is the House sponsor on a bill that recently passed out of the Senate.
The legislation aims to attract the Bears to Indiana and would create a stadium authority in charge of acquiring land and financing the construction of a facility. The bill passed overwhelmingly out of the Senate with just two no votes. Speaker Houston says he plans to spend several days in northern Indiana speaking with local officials.
We'll do everything we can. I think it's an incredible economic opportunity for Northwest Indiana and for the state of Indiana, and hopefully we'll be moving something forward soon.
Economists have long questioned whether stadiums are a good economic investment, but Indiana lawmakers say the state has been good at developing financial packages that don't hurt taxpayers. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
Fort Wayne's iconic Embassy Theater is celebrating its 20th Down the Line concert on February 21st, with a special show featuring five local bands, each paying tribute to a different era of music. Here, WBOY's Julia Meek discusses this signature series with its founder, Matt Kelly, and his bandmate in the legendary Train Hoppers, Chris Dodds.
Matt Kelly, Chris Dodds, welcome.
Hello, Julia.
Happy to be here.
Okay, your Brainchildren, Down the Line, and the legendary Train Hoppers Band were born in that first era, as you call it. How did it all come together?
Yeah, the Embassy's board of directors approached me and my day job at One Lucky Guitar and said, do you guys have any ideas on an event that can draw a new audience into the theater? And we pitched a few ideas, and one was this notion of local original artists covering artists that inspired them to make music in the first place. And that became Down the Line. We'd been doing a series like that at Columbia Street West, and we took that idea and put it on the big stage.
Meanwhile, your band's short but active First Chapter, as you call it, saw its last performance at that Down the Line number one in 2007. Honestly, what was that first time rush on that stage doing Down the Line?
Well, any musician who has ever stepped foot on that stage will have to admit that is the best thing that's ever happened to you. The problem is a half hour seems like 2 minutes. So Matt and I were fortunate enough that we, on the first Down the Line, not only got to play it, but we actually hosted it. We emceed it.
To end that chapter with our performance at the first Down the Line was a really special thing for us. It just has such a great communal vibe. And over the 20 years, four or five bands a year, that's nearly 100 bands have been able to perform on that stage now.
Now back to your band. Core members, besides the two of you, you've got Dan Smith, Phil Potts, Casey Stanciford. And after that brief hiatus, finally, another Down the Line performance in its 10th season. So how did it all grow? Your band, your spirit, your mission, your sophistication.
I think the time off that we had made it all the more important. 2015, when Casey came on board, there was a renewed, probably even a more enthusiasm for the second go around than even the first one.
And Chris, what have you learned about that signature sound making it better? What have you learned about you?
I think as younger men, we were all about high energy, you know, knee slapping, 100 miles per hour. And as we have matured, mellowed, aged, with that has come the exploration of maybe some more creative U-turns or left turns, which this latest album is probably the biggest departure in a lot of ways for this band in a new direction, sonically, musically, songwriting style, that sort of thing. So it's been great to be able to expand in a different direction.
Okay, back to that line and the lineups. What bands have you, Train Hoppers, covered, including the one coming up?
For the first Down the Line, we closed the night and we played the music of Bob Dylan.
Which is all Matt and I wanted to do. Matt and I are huge, huge Dylan fans, and that was a dream come true to.
Okay, number two.
Down the Line 10, we played the music of Bruce Springsteen. And so for Down the Line 20, the Embassy has seemed to take a page from Taylor Swift, and they're doing the Eras Tour. So instead of individual artists, there's five performers covering decades, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. And we were tasked with the 1960s.
Does it ever get old? Does it ever feel plain old?
No.
One of the ways we first met the Embassy, Julia, if you rewind back to that era of 06, 07, we did our album release party for our first album in 2006 in the Indiana Hotel lobby. And that's kind of how we met the Embassy team.
Okay.
And again, that led to that,
yes.
Then that first Down the Line appearance. Our second appearance in 2016, we had released our second album a week or two before that. And now this Down the Line, we're releasing album 5 the night before Down the Line. So big Train Hopper weekend.
Yes, larger than life weekend for the arts and music scene. Love it.
Absolutely.
Matt Kelly and Chris Dodds are founding members of the legendary Train Hoppers, and Matt, owner of One Lucky Guitar, founder of Down the Line. Thanks for sharing your story. Continued blessings on your way.
Thanks so much, Julia.
Down the Line 20 takes place February 21st. Find an extended version of this conversation at WBOY.org. More news in a moment.
My name is Jim Werenberg. I've been a listener and member of public radio for over 40 years. Public radio is important because it gives a broad and balanced view of the world and is a strong supporter of our local news. Please join me and countless others in protecting public radio. Learn how at wboi.org/save.
Here's what to know for today. Three candidates are jockeying to replace Allen Superior Court Judge Fran Gohl when she retires at the end of the year. Doctors would need to get patient consent for invasive examinations performed on unconscious patients under proposed legislation. And insurance companies would be blocked from charging hospitals a penalty for connecting patients with out-of-network providers under a bill moving through the legislature. That's Who and What for Friday, February 6th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at wboi.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great weekend.